haunt season is over, and that means it's time to start planning for next year. Of course, the first step in planning for 2021 is figuring out what went well and what didn't go so well for 2020. Therefore, we're going to be doing a mini-series of post-mortem haunt reports. And so coming up on today's show, we get our first post-mortem haunt report from a petrified forest in Florida. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this is your Haunt News Briefing. Doing everything we can to prepare you for 2021. And before we get to today's interview with A Petrified Forest, let's go to Daryl, who has some industry news.
Now that the season is over, the Scare Factor is actually doing their Monster Bash. This year, the 2020 theme is Apocalypse. Kind of fitting, isn't it? So, November 21st in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Monster Bash is an after-season party that's for haunters by haunters. Anyone and everyone that works in the haunted house industry, from owners, managers, and actors to makeup artists, set designers, parking flaggers, volunteers, and vendors are 100% welcome. This year, there's a few things that are required because of COVID. They're requiring that masks or face coverings be worn at all times while in the venue, except while you're eating or outside smoking. Please be respectful of other guests' space and keep yourself socially distanced at 6 feet from others while attending the event whenever possible. Also, they encourage using hand sanitizer often. So tickets are only $25, and that gets you 2 drink tickets, 2 haunt tours, a live DJ performance, access to a bunch of cash and carry vendors, karaoke, Haunters Against Hate is holding a drag show, and potential entry into the costume contest. Their haunted tours this year include 6 award-winning attractions: The Nightmare on Edgewood, which includes the cinema, Edgewood Sanitarium, and the Conley Farm, and The House of Trepidation, which includes the House of Trepidation, Crossroads of Carnage, and Condemned. Those are included with your admission price. The DJ will be performing music throughout the night. There will be cash and carry vendors, and karaoke is planned to be offered again. In light of COVID, they are using disposable fabric microphone covers. In the past, the Haunters Against Hate drag show had been a huge hit amongst guests since the beginning, and it's coming back for more this year. Join our queens and kings as they perform live and help us support this amazing cause. All tips collected are donated to the wonderful organization Haunters Against Hate. There is also a costume contest that's sponsored by the Horror Hike and the Horror House. This year, they are changing it up a bit, though. As you mingle with the other patrons in your costume, judges will be on the lookout for select characters, the ones they believe are sporting the most elaborate, detailed, and well-designed outfits. Those characters will be given invitations to participate in the costume contest. Then, you have the chance to get out of your bulky costume for a little while, until minutes before the show. Prizes include $150 and a large trophy, $100 for second place and a small trophy, $50 for third place and another small apocalyptic trophy, and all finalists will get bragging rights for days. In addition, the Scare Factor's awards ceremony, where Tyler and Nora from Team Zombillies, known as the ScareFactor.com, will be announcing the award-winning haunts and actors from this haunt season. Hershey has noted that Halloween candy sales were up slightly this year despite lower enthusiasm for trick-or-treating and the reduced amount of visitors to your door. CEO Michelle Buck said Friday that earlier shipments of Halloween candy to stores helped boost sales. So did marketing messages that suggested safe ways to celebrate. Buck said investments in online sales capacity also helped move more candy. The e-commerce sales grew 80% in the third quarter. Early Halloween sales helped Hershey to a stronger-than-expected third quarter. The company said its sales rose 4% to $2.2 billion in the July to September period. If you're buying it in July or August, does it even make it into the children's hands? No, I didn't think so. Home haunters have a variety of ways to decorate on the spooky scale. It goes right from the casual black cat, full moon, or harmless jack-o'-lantern to the extremes of disembodied corpses, chainsaw massacre enactments, or even scarier. Dallas artist Steve Nogvak definitely finds himself at the horrifying end, and even had the police called several times because of his display. He says, "No lights, no fog machine or camp, something that really freaked people out walking by in the dark, so I whipped up some dummies and slung 20 gallons of blood all over." So one dummy lies with his head pulverized, another one lies with a safe where his head used to be, and a few more lie in bloodied trash bags falling off a wheelbarrow. All the while, in the window of the house, a zombie horde attempts to break out. Steve says, "I'm most proud of the wheelbarrow tipped over by the street, full of hefty bags, looking like failed attempt to dispose of the dismembered bodies in the middle of the night. A kid walked by and asked me what happened to him. I told him they ate too many Skittles." He does say, though, it was raining a lot and washed the blood away, so he watered the bodies every morning for a while, to the dismay of early dog walkers and joggers. Some people did think that it is a little bit of extreme, and he did have neighbors or other people call the cops on him several times. They were in formation at the door, and when I opened it, they asked if it was all mine. I said, "You mean the blood and the bodies?" "Yeah, that's me. Honestly, though, I think I could have used more. My plans were way worse on paper. Next year, though." Well, watch out, Dallas. On the technical side of things, somebody's done studies and say that there's a sweet spot for recreational fear. Fear has been studied in the past and used to great effect in many haunted houses. Now, it's typically viewed as a negative emotion, but it does keep us on our toes and alert us to potential dangers in our environment. Human beings also tend to seek out scary movies, horror novels, and haunted houses, and not just during the Halloween season. That tendency has been dubbed recreational fear. It's a mixed emotional experience of fear and enjoyment. In this new paper, co-author Mark Malmdorf-Andersen, a researcher at the Interacting Minds Center at Denmark's Aarhus University, by investigating how humans derive pleasure from fear, we find that there seems to be a sweet spot where enjoyment's maximized. Our study provides some of the first empirical evidence on the relationship between fear, enjoyment, and physical arousal in recreational forms of fear. You can read the article about it, and you can actually click through to find the Playing with Fear, a Field Study in Recreational Horror paper that was published on November 2nd, 2020. On a recent post on Facebook's Haunter's Toolbox, Brian asked, "What are your must-do Halloween traditions?" Some of you tend to visit other haunts. Many of you have kids in your own, so you're either running your yard or your home haunt, or you're taking your kids out to trick-or-treat. Obviously, lots of us like to scare other people and even make them pee. Seems, though, that the number two thing that happens are watching movies, and many of them are the same ones year after year. Trick-or-treat's really popular, the original Halloween, Hocus Pocus, one of the Universal Monster movies, the Rocky Horror. But some of these things I tend to watch multiple times throughout the year anyways, not just on the season. It seems the number one answer, though, for people is making chili. Do any of you, when you carve your pumpkins, use those leftover cutout bits and pieces in your chili? Do you have the recipe? Let us know. Make sure you visit Haunter's Toolbox for this and other posts from Brian, myself, Philip, and the rest of the team.
Thank you for the news, Daryl. And now, onto our post-mortem haunt report from A Petrified Forest.
Hello, my name's Kaya Gondren from A Petrified Forest. This year was, in a word, definitely different. We saw some positive changes. We definitely saw some challenges that we knew we'd have to tackle long before we got the go-ahead from the state that we'd even be able to open. One of the exciting things that we did change is we did a lot more of the online ticket sales, and we actually changed our way of selling to time zones. So instead of showing up with tickets previously bought versus tickets bought at the door and you get in line and first come, first serve, we actually did have guests purchasing different time slots. So we knew how many people were coming in at certain time slots. We were able to keep that balance versus having the influx of people. And that, of course, helped a lot for social distancing, making sure that our guests felt really safe. The challenge, of course, then being making sure our guests felt safe. That was a big priority for us, of course, just like it should be for all around the country. So we, of course, enforced mask wearage in the front yard and throughout the trails, both for our characters and for our guests. We wanted to make sure that whether your group size was 2 or 10, you would feel comfortable going through the trail all the way until you made it through the exit. So that was a challenge to make sure that our sets were geared towards making sure no one was touching anything. And if they were, we were able to properly sanitize it afterwards. So it was a challenge that we were definitely willing to tackle. But a lot of thought went into making sure that everyone would feel safe and secure during these uncertain, of course, times. We, of course, don't know what next year is going to bring, but I can assure you that I do think that our time slot online ticket purchasing was definitely effective. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that coming into play next year as well. Regardless of whether or not COVID-19 is a difficulty, our guests have been really positively receptive about it. So hopefully we'll be able to bring that into the future as well.
Alrighty, that's it for today's show. And if you liked this episode and you are listening in iTunes, please give us a review. Those reviews really do help make sure that our content gets found by other haunters that need to find it. And if you have already given a review in iTunes, but it was several years ago, you can actually go in and update that review, because they tend to fall off after a couple of years, and we've been doing this for 6 years. So if you have news or topics that you would like us to talk about on the show, you can email it to me at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. scarefactor.com. If you are listening on a platform that doesn't allow reviews and you would still like to help us, it would be wonderful if you could send this to a friend and introduce another haunter to what it is that we're doing over here. And remember that additional stories and content can be found on our website, hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.